to 1 Corinthians 13. There, and if you want to be looking forward in a few minutes, I know Alan will put it up for us, but Hebrews chapter 5. But just a couple of quick little stories, and I'm not going to go into any depth. I'm not even speaking on this morning. But we do need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for everything that's going on right now in our world, that's big moves that were made. But if I felt like I was supposed to, I would address some things. But there are a lot of things in motion right now, and I think that the best thing that we can do, instead of start opening up commentary, I notice that a lot of preachers just jump online and start saying things, and it gets met back with a lot of things. And I'm not saying anything that I don't feel led to talk about. I know this. We need to pray for our leadership of our country. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for Israel, because the Bible says to. And so let's do that. Father, we pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for Israel. We pray for their protection. And there are a lot of troubled things that are going on in our world right now, but we are in line under you. And you say pray for those that have authority over us. And certainly we see that from the police officer all the way up to the president of the United States. Everyone in between that holds an office has an authority over us. And whether they use that properly or improperly, it is our duty, according to your word, to pray for them. Pray for wisdom. Pray for eyes to be open. We thank you, God, that this country stands for Israel, that we consider them not just an ally, a close ally. And we've prayed that that would remain, God. So we trust you with everything, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Not really a part of the message this morning as far as breaking this down, but there was a story when Paul was shipwrecked, and you talk about authority in life, or favor that was given to a man. Paul was given favor as a prisoner. He was in chains. He was a prisoner. And when a shipwreck came, he started giving orders, because the prison guards were so distressed that they were about to kill 270-something prisoners because the boat was falling apart. The ship was falling apart. It struck rocks and it was falling apart, and the soldiers were getting ready to kill the prisoners, and Paul said, stop, don't do it. He said, everybody that can swim, swim towards shore, and everybody that can't swim, grab a board and hold on to it and float your way in. And we find out in that story that everyone was spared, everyone's life was saved, and in the process, when they got to shore, there was a group of barbarians, the Bible calls them, that lived there. So if they, the Bible describes them as barbaric people, I say they were barbarians. I believe it. But it said they showed us unusual kindness, and they built a fire. We just had I would call it the best men's camping trip we've had yet. Don't feel sorry for us. We could have been feeling sorry for you. We were sitting there eating ribeye and lamb chops and shrimp, and just we were going for it. And little Debbie's, the only woman on the trip was little Debbie, and boy, did she show out. Woo! But when they arrived on shore, the barbarians built them a little fire, built a fire. But Paul the apostle did not get comfortable. And he grabbed a handful of wood and he threw it on the fire. And when he did that, the fire got hotter. And it said, because of the heat, a snake came out and latched onto his hand. And these barbaric people, just a short story, they thought, oh, he's going to die. Certainly he did something worthy of death, and it's all playing out, you know, karma and all that stuff. And then in a little while, when he didn't swell up and die, they said, oh, he's a god. And then in days to come, there was a chief, I guess you would call it, a man of authority who was very sick and he was dying. And Paul went to him and prayed for him, and he raised up, and they said, yeah, this man is something special for sure. But I just want to take it back just a little bit. There was a snake involved. There's a snake involved, and the snake got comfortable around a comfortable fire. But when somebody turned the heat up, the snake came out and it was biting. I believe that if we will preach the Word of God, it will keep us from being comfortable where the snakes are. But I also believe that as we preach the Word of God, the snakes are going to come out. And we must be prepared for that. First Corinthians chapter 13. There is a comfortable place that we're at in the church world, at least in the United States, when we talk about love and when we talk about God and God is love, and we've gotten really comfortable with God being a loving God. We've gotten so comfortable that we've begun to ask questions and have dialogue. And I saw where one of the great minds was on stage, a couple of great minds, actually. I don't know if you've ever heard of a man named John Lennox, but he's an amazing man, has an amazing mind. And not just an amazing mind, and not just somebody who says, give me a minute and let me think about it. Let me get back to you. A guy who's so fascinating and accomplished in his mind that he can take questions and come back with quick answers and quick responses, and we're like, wow, I wish I could have responded. Not, I wish I could have even come up with that answer, not just come up with it, that I could have responded quickly. There's levels of his greatness, and someone, and he's a believer, and he goes to the Scripture. If you want to be great, go to the Scripture, learn the Scripture. Biblical accuracy is so important. Translate it right. It's not open to our own private interpretation. It's open to what he said. That's what it's open to. And then you can say what he said with authority. And the question came, and it was this. It's like, how could a God who loves people, how could he start this whole thing out with Adam and Eve? How could there be a garden that's got two trees in it and give them a choice? Tree of life, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're a smart man, Mr. Lennox. You would have probably wanted to eat from that tree of the knowledge. He said, why did God put restrictions on that tree of life? Why did he put a restriction? Why did he want to keep people down? And John Lennox immediately said, he said, that's really a good question. So such a good question that the first time it was recorded, it was a snake that asked the question. Watch out for snakes. And then he went on to expound an incredible answer. So the snake thing will come up more and more as we talk today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, most of this deals with love, but you've got to include the whole thing, because not only does it say, well, Pastor John, it goes down to verse 8, and I've even marked in my Bible, it took me a question, this is my best Bible. I've shown you all that before. I've got others just like it, and they're getting chipped away so much. I took it camping with me, and I'm like, I need to reback that thing. I love it so much, but in that Bible, I've got it marked, verse 8, 13 and 8, where love never fails. I've got a divider right there just for my mind, because it stops talking about love, the word, for a second, but it goes on from there. But it's actually wrapping the whole thing up, because the end says, verse 13 of chapter 13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So it's talking about love, and it takes a little curve in there, including something about maturity. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And if there's a lot of questions in the church world about chapter 12, 13, and 14, but really chapter 12 and chapter 14, because chapter 12 lists the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 14 explains the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13 is sandwiched right there in the middle. It even starts off this thing, if you speak with the tongues of men and angels and don't have love, you're just a clanging gong and a cymbal and you're just making noise and doesn't mean anything. I would hate to think that I had the gifts of the Spirit ready to operate inside of me, but I am messing them up. There's an order to things. There's a way to do things. And it's not always just full force. And we've gotten to, in some of our conversations, me and Logan and Walker, whenever we're talking about these guys that'll just rip each other apart, especially different denominations, we call it dunking on each other. Man, that guy dunked on that dude. And we just always drop it and say, did you really have to hit him that hard? You can hit him hard with the truth. Do you have to do it that way? Because sometimes it's just pure mean. It's just pure meanness that comes out of people. I don't want to be just a clanging gong. If I've got the truth, saying it louder doesn't make it more true. Truth is truth. 2 + 2 = 4. Just like 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. Doesn't change the thing. Doesn't change the thing, okay? I want to look at verse 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We've got to talk about maturity and about moving to maturity. Paul Harvey used to have this segment. It was called The Rest of the Story, and he would give you this thing, that this subject that you knew this much about, and then he would give you the rest of the story that you didn't know. He would give you the therefore portion of it and then come back and say, now you know the rest of the story. But we can't just, especially as people that have a strong Pentecostal flavor to our worship, we can't just roll with the gifts and not have love and deal with it properly. And if we're going to deal with it properly, we've got to have mature minds, mature hearts, and mature reasoning. And according to this, maturity is something that is described with having at least three realms in it. What are they? It's my speech. It's my understanding. It's my thoughts. When I was a child and when I was a man, something took place. When I was a child, when I was a man, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, that means my speech changed. My understanding changed. My thoughts changed. I put the childish ways behind me. And that's what must take place in our lives. And it's also a measurement of things. That your speech, your understanding, your thoughts, you really got to get all three of them right. Now you can sit there quietly, and unless you grunt and groan and make faces, you can keep that maturity at a place where people don't recognize it. Some people have used another scripture and tied it in that talks about a fool. A fool as long as he keeps his mouth, according to Proverbs, a fool as long as he keeps his mouth quiet, it's just a question mark. Nobody knows. But if he opens his mouth, well, it's a part of this thing. That mouth, that speech, that's a part of this thing right here. That's a part of a that's a part of your maturity. So your speech will tell on you. Your understanding will tell on you. Your thoughts will tell on you. And they'll give a good report or a bad report. And the report will be towards maturity or immaturity. Amen. I guess I'll speed up so y'all can get to the buffet quicker today. The good news is that these three things, they're not exclusive of each other. I gave you the good news. Now let me give you the bad news. The bad news is that these three things are not exclusive of each other. They both tell on you in a good way or a bad way. So your speech is important. Look at your neighbor. Get real brave right now. Say, how you talk to me is important. Y'all ain't mad at nobody stomping out yet, are they? Say this now. Our understanding of each other is important. How we talk to each other is important. How we understand each other. Our thoughts are important. It took me a lot of years being married to that beautiful woman right there with the black dress and the white jacket and the silver hair. It took me a lot of years to talk to her right, for her to understand what I meant, for her to get my thoughts. And now we're at the place where we joke about it. And I say this, I say, it's not what I said, it's what I need you to think that I said. And you got to have some years to get that one down. We just clipped 32 years, praying for 32 more. Hallelujah. You did it, baby. You survived 32 years. But there's something to this. Our speech, I said something about snakes. Eve had a conversation with a snake. That snake that John Lennox was talking about was that conversation that Eve was having. Be careful who you have conversations with. Your thoughts, according to the Bible, our thoughts have to be renewed constantly. My thoughts have to be renewed, right? Our actions have to be done in such a way that we have an expectation that what we did in a physical sense is going to show up later, either good or bad, either mature or immature. And it's going to be hard to explain that thing away later. So it's better to be on the mature side of it. And then you won't have to be worried about what I'm going to have to explain about it later. Listen, this is a struggle for every human person. We don't get out of this one. My speech, my thinking, my understanding. And I don't know. Maybe that's an order of things. When I was a child, I spoke, I understood. I thought. But you can't tell where my understanding is at. And you can't tell where my thinking is at. But if I speak, you can know where my understanding and my thinking are at. That's why speech is so important. And if you get one of them wrong, they're all wrong, because they all came from someplace. And we must get those things right. They are supporting actors of maturity. They are indicators of maturity, or indicators of the lack of maturity. Every one of them. Somebody say amen. I got to get them all right. If I get them all right, guess what I'll have? I'll have right talk. If I get them right, I'll have right understanding. If I get them right, I'll have right thoughts. Do you know how many times I've talked to people that said, my thoughts. Well, it's something that we constantly deal with. I deal with it. You deal with it. It's always going to be something, but we should be, by now, we should be at a place where we are better in some ways. I don't expect anybody to get saved and just already be ready to just preach the word. Matter of fact, the Bible says, don't do that. So be careful about that. You've come from one track record to another. There needs to be some difference after Christ than before Christ. There needs to be a place in your life where you don't mark where you got saved. Other people mark where you got saved. That's a good one right there. Pulpit revelation. Boom. Just hit me. And it shows up in your speech. It really does. It can show up in your attitude, but sooner or later, that dam right there is going to break. Some of y'all jerked around and said, What'd he say? I'm running edges today. Watch out. I've been in the woods. I've been in my element. I'm a bit crazy today. Let me tell you, we had a good time. We climbed up a mountain, and towards the top, there was somewhere 40 to 60 foot waterfall, ice cold water. And me and Walker got in it and laid back, and I just couldn't hardly handle it. And everyone that was up there with us got back in that water. And then we climbed down the water and swam across the river and got to the other side. I knew where it was at. There was a place where a freshwater stream comes into a mountain stream that's already cold. And one of the men had a watch on that told the temperature of the water. And I knew by the time we climbed back down, we were going to be hot, and that water is going to be cold again. But I said, let's just swim to the other side. And then we're going right over there. Y'all see that water rushing in? We're going there. And it's going to be like ice. And it was. So I've been refreshed, and I'm ready to go. Don't worry about me. Hebrews, just real quick, believe me, I'm tying a bow in it right now. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 into chapter 6, the first word. We have to, when it starts off with a therefore, you have to go back. So it says therefore in 6:1, so we're reaching back for the therefore, okay? The therefore is in chapter 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have not come to need milk and not solid meat. I just completely messed that up. Let's start it all over. Actually, it would be better to read chapter 6, verse 1, and then go back. Let's read 6 and 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That word is interpreted in other Bibles, and maybe the Bible that you're looking at right now, as maturity. So he said, let us go on to maturity. That's what I'm talking about this morning, is becoming mature in Christ. And Paul says, let's go on to maturity. We're not there yet. A mature person never says, I've arrived, I'm mature. They're always reaching towards it. And they're always teaching the things that they have. Okay? Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. He's saying there's a lot of things, boys. We're going to move past just being saved, and we're going to learn to live for the Lord. But there's a therefore. So the therefore goes back to 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, you're babies. I thought we could get you on the rice. I thought we could get you on the cereal. And I see a little chunk of apple got caught in your throat under your uvula, and you're choking. And we got to go back and get you on milk. We're not going to even ever going to be able to get you to the meat of the word, because we got to keep going back to the milk. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who by reason of use, who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, they've lived some life. They've got some experience. Those of you who are in relationships, those of you who are married, those who've been married a long time, you could probably do good to say, Mr. Allen, Miss Nan, could I take you to lunch and ask you a couple questions? Could me and my wife buy your lunch? I'm telling you, it'd be money well spent to sit down with someone who's had a long marriage and has trusted the Lord and is trusting the Lord every day. And let me just put you on the spot, Miss Nan. Have you reached to the point where you done trusting in the Lord? You've trusted enough, and you can ride it out now. Are you at a place, Alan, where you don't need to really trust Him anymore? Yeah. Thank you. Maybe that'll encourage someone that's on the front side of some things. But this maturity thing is quite important. It's very important. Let me tell you something, that there's something that needs to take place in us as believers and in this body. A lot of times when I'm talking about churches, I'm not talking about you know this church. I'm talking about the church worldwide, but I'm talking about this church and us and the ones that go to church right here. We need to be moving towards maturity. I mean, I'm including myself in that. I'm including my family in that. We have not arrived at that place. We have some years. We have some experiences, but we're going to keep on. Amen. I was thinking about something yesterday, and as I was thinking about it, I got an example, and I thought about this thing. I thought about what church is, and how we can do a good thing, and even out of doing a good thing, we can just actually be continuing the process and keeping the cycle going. Because it can be good for a while, and then it spiral down and be bad for a while, and then it can be good for a while. It can be bad for a while. We can go church in it. And hopefully the church is the good part. But it won't be the best part if it's only the good part, right? It won't be the excellent part if it's only the good part. And the enemy of great and excellent can just be good. Because if we get comfortable by the fire, and there's a snake there that we won't turn the heat up in to drive the snake out so we can deal with the snake, the snake's always going to be there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you what church is not. I got this little example because it was out back behind the church. There he is right there. What is that? So you recognize it. You recognize that as the snake of a skin, the skin of a snake, right? Snake skin. Y'all got it right. Who said snake skin? Raise your hand. Gold star. You got it right. You're right. Snake skin right there. And I looked at that thing, and I stared at it for a little while, and then I said, that thing's going to help me preach. Y'all got it right. I don't know, brother. That is actually, you're reading my mind, Ernest, because that's what I was going to say, where's the snake? So y'all recognize the skin, but where's the snake? See, we're not just supposed to come together to peel off another layer of flesh. Because that's going to be a process. And that thing has to happen, but snakes change skin all the time. And we can't be just a place where we just swap our flesh out for some new flesh that goes right back to needing to be swapped out again. And I come into church so I can get my flesh worked on a little bit, but I'll go back to being a snake again. I can tell, I don't know what the snake's doing, but I can tell you this about the snake. The snake's being a snake. And we're always going to deal with this flesh. And we can do more than manage it, but manage it we must. And what he's given us is something that covers this flesh. It's a garment. Because he knows we can come in here and work on our flesh and leave here feeling better, but we're still wrapped up in this flesh. A garment of praise, he talks about in Isaiah, and he says, put it on. A garment of praise signifies a choice to praise God despite difficult circumstances. Would you come, Christine? A garment of praise. I don't just want my skin managed today. I don't want my flesh managed. That's why praise is so important. That's why the scripture talks about trusting the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Acknowledging him, that's why I said a minute ago, praise is about who gets acknowledged in your life. Praise is about who gets acknowledged in your life. You watch a sports team play. The Indians are playing the Bears. You're an Indians fan. The Bears score. You don't jump up and cheer because you're an Indians fan, right? Praise is about who gets acknowledged. You can hear from a long distance. You can hear from right here when Nations Ford scores a touchdown. Right now, a mile through the woods as the crow flies. You can hear it. You can hear their marching band playing over there. But I could recognize from right here when Nations Ford scores a touchdown. You know what I can't tell? If the other team scores. Because there's not enough fan base over there for me to recognize the difference. Praise is about who gets acknowledged. We serve Jesus here. I said, we serve Jesus here. Our lives should make a sonic boom of that. Yes. Regardless of circumstances. Regardless of what's going on. Our world's in a mess right now. But my eyes are on Jesus. I say this, it's a good time to be following Jesus. It's a good time to be trusting in him. And my circumstances don't matter. I'm going to praise him. Yes. Will you join me this morning as we praise him? Would you stand up with me right now? Father, we give you praise. We give you praise from a place that is on track for maturity. Lord, it is time to leave milk behind and move to solid food. But that's going to reflect in our lives. It's going to reflect in our speech, in our understanding, and in our thinking. And you've got instruction for every one of those things because they're big ticket items that must be dealt with if we're going to be a mature person in you, a mature believer. But God, today, the garment of praise is so important. We put it on, Lord. We're not just coming here to adjust our flesh for another week, for another shot, for another try. Lord, as we praise you, let us recognize who you are and the power that is inside of us. Lord, you said in John 1 that you've given those of us who have decided to follow you the power to become sons of God, to become. You've given us the power to change. You've given us the power to leave who we were and step into who you've called us to be and to mature in that area. So, Lord, as we praise you today, let us leave with this praise on our lips that you're worthy of all of it. It all belongs to you, and that you're going to help us in our speech and in our understanding and in the thought processes. And what comes out of us is going to move towards the maturity in you that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing that.